Hello, I'm Ricky Gervais. As the Canadian physician William Osler once said, the desire to take medicine is perhaps the greatest feature which distinguishes man from animals. From keyhole surgery to stem cell research, modern medicine enables the 20th century man to play God. But how did we get here? What incremental advances through the ages gave birth to the medical wonders of today? Here to discuss the history and practice of medicine are Stephen Merchant, graduate from the University of Warwick and now award-winning writer.
Thank you very much indeed.
And Carl Pilkington, a man with no qualifications, very little education, but who is now known the world over as a shaven chimp with a head like a fucking orange.
All right.
Well, there is obviously so much to discuss, Ricky. I wonder, in an effort just to provoke some initial thoughts, if I can offer another quote from the great Carl Sagan, who said, advances in medicine and agriculture have saved vastly more lives than have been lost in all the wars in history. So quite a...
Yeah, just shows you shouldn't really worry about war.
What do you mean? As
not a big problem, is it? Obviously. So, that's a good point there, Carl.
war's
not as bad as a lot of people make out. What do you think, Carl? Overrated? Too much fuss about all...
Well, I don't know anyone who's died in a war, but I know loads of people who have died from, you know, cancer and what have you. So is that going on Carl's quote? Does that work? Is he right? What did he say?
Good, well, we're off to a fascinating start. I think it's probably best, Rick, if we return to the very beginning of time, the dawn of man, because, of course, even in primitive, prehistoric ages, medicine was practiced in some ways, from the research people have done, cave paintings and the like. Carl, I wonder if you would just give us your initial thoughts on, you know, the medicine of the ancient world.
You sound like you haven't studied it, or you're being...
You're being modest.
You're being modest?
I've never really thought about it.
What do you think?
They didn't have much. I know that Tutankhamun. He died of like having a knee injury, so they didn't have that much medicine knocking about back then.
Right, where do you get this information from? It sounds vague.
I read it at an exhibition I went to, and
did you read the whole sentence? Or
no,
just...
I just saw they had some like video footage like made up. It wasn't from the time, and they just sort of said this is probably what happened.
Sure. Did you put the headphones on and listen though, or do you just guess it from the pictures?
I just looked because I couldn't have the headphones.
Of course not.
Why couldn't you have the headphones?
They're expensive.
How much?
About £50, I think, deposit and everything.
Well, you get that back though if you return them. All you have to do is take them off your
head
and hand them in.
I don't like the idea of handing money over because it's like when you get a flat and that and you put a deposit in, you never get the full deposit back. I don't like deposits.
Well, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to take £50 off because you put wallpaper on your headphones.
No, but it's
not the same, is it?
So you're going to deprive yourself of education because you don't trust.
I didn't deprive me. I saw it.
The Natural History Museum.
It came off a chariot. The dangerous things.
He came off a chariot. You saw that on the How do you know he died? How could you tell from visual images that Tutankhamun died from a knee injury?
It's just... you're going to make yourself look daft here, because that's what happened.
Imagine that. In a room with Carl Pilkington, we make ourselves look daft. How would we have to... that would be incredible.
So aside from Tutankhamun's knee injury, that's pretty much your grasp of the ancient world in medicine?
Well, I don't know anyone else who's knocking about.
Well, what about if we go back even further? What about if we go to sort of primitive man, cave-dwelling man? What do you know there of medicine in that early stage?
They didn't really bother.
Okay, is that guessing or
wasn't the earliest ones like people like shaman and those tribal lords that would say? Well, that was I assume even you know pagan man had sort of. Apothecaries that certain roots and
shaman who would use herbs and so on. But of course, if we go back to primitive man, you're obviously familiar. I believe it's pronounced trepanning.
Oh, when you take the top of your head off and let out the demons, and
they found various skulls from ancient man with holes bored in the top, some of which had healed over, suggesting that they had indeed drilled holes in their head, or presumably they wouldn't have had drills in that point, cracked the head, and. In their thinking, letting out evil spirits, and then they healed back over. So in some instances, the people survived.
Mm.
Don't you think it's fascinating that there was one point when man discovered that this thing that we now call the brain, which sort of houses the mind, he knew was in his head.
It's not that amazing.
Well, no, it's not to you, because you know it's there, but-
No, no, but back then, I reckon I'd know that's where it is.
Why? Do you- can you feel where you're thinking?
Well, it just makes sense to put it there.
What do
you
mean?
When you think and you speak, it comes out of your mouth. So it just makes sense that whatever's near that is near to the mouth. If your brain was in your foot, it'd take ages for you to say anything.
No, it wouldn't! Why? Yeah.
This is like actually talking to a primitive man about his understanding of medicine. They would have more insight. By this point, we'd have just cracked open your head to get the demons out. Shall we move on to the ancient world in terms of Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, of course, because they made huge advances, particularly the Romans, who understood, of course, the importance of sanitation. You know, famously, their streets were clean.
Yeah. Don't you think that if we hadn't have cleaned up as much, that, I don't know, we'd be stronger?
What? Well, I know what you mean. Yeah,
they say
let
the
your kids eat dirt. Yeah, of course.
That.
Well, that's building up its sort of you know, immunity system. If you're too cosseted, you don't fight it. And you know, that's exactly what immunisation is, giving you a bit.
Yeah, but
of
it's
the
gone
disease.
Mental now. Whenever a baby's born, he's drugged out of its eyeballs. It's only about a week old. They're giving it all sorts of shots.
Like what?
Loads of stuff for whooping cough.
Yeah, you don't want whooping cough.
Lumps.
Tutankhamun could have died of whooping
cough. No, but did you give it loads of stuff? And now it's like, I don't know, it's making us weak.
Yeah, soon there's going to be things that, one, we're not immune to, and two, our antibiotics no longer work. Because, of course, things like the viruses and bacteria or whatever, they evolve and change so quickly that you can't keep up with them. And also, there's this big thing, you know, like the superbug, for example, there's a very strong theory that says that it's where people took half the course of antibiotics, and what it did was it was almost like an immunization to the bacteria and virus against the antibiotic. They got stronger. They
that's what I mean.
So yeah, we need some germs, as you'd call them, but there are some that we have eradicated. I mean, I think it was in our lifetime that they eradicated smallpox from the world. They just stopped it, and it saved, I mean, millions and millions of lives, and they wiped it out.
There are rumours, of course, that both Russia and America still have the smallpox virus under lock and key, which they could theoretically breed and use in a chemical warfare situation.
Well, there was a bit of a scandal a few years ago, I think 10 years ago, where in a university laboratory, someone came across a marked yoghurt pot in deep freeze that had smallpox in it. That was a hangover from the 70s.
When you say it was marked, was it like someone's put their name on it because they don't want someone to eat
smallpox
yogurt?
No, I think they you know, they looked into it and it was the deep frozen smallpox virus that, you know, thawed out.
They just
released.
Left in a fridge.
Well, I think so. Yeah, it was an admin
understand.
Problem. I'm sure that it's somewhere. What I mean is, it's under lock and key or frozen at minus
well, that's
200
not good
degrees
enough,
centigrade.
Is it? Under lock and key and all that. It's not good enough. Get rid of it. Why are they keeping a little tub of smallpox knocking about?
Well, are they not? Are they not meant to be?
Well, that's
no,
a lesson.
What doing there in the first place? That's, to me, that's like in James Bond, where they don't kill him when they have the chance. There's always that little thing of, oh, let's play with danger. Let's keep a bit.
Yeah.
Well,
pop
it's probably
next to AIDS in the Kiara bottle. I don't understand why you'd store that.
Well, there's probably a presumption. It's probably an overhang from the Cold War, where people were thinking, well, listen, what if Russia's still got some smallpox? We better hang on to some smallpox.
It's just clutter, though, as well, isn't it? You see, we're obsessed. We're keeping stuff. And it's the same with germs. We can't even say, get rid of that. We won't be needing it. Smallpox. We'll keep it just in case. Get rid of it. We've got this obsession thing again. It's saving everything. It's like how we save every animal, even a germ. We get upset about if it dies out.
Yeah,
keep
but
it. Keep
well, you,
it.
You say that, but of course, famously, Alexander Fleming discovered what may be the most important breakthrough of the 20th century, which was the first antibiotic, I think, in 1928. And he's literally saved hundreds of millions of lives with that, changed the face of modern medicine. And he discovered that because he left a bit of old bread out for a while, and it went all mouldy in his kitchen. And he thought, "Oh, what's that?" Oh. Let's have a look.
Like I've said to you before, it's down to him being scruffy more than anything.
It just
seems like there's a lot of scruffy kitchens around that, you're saying...
But think if his cleaner had come in and gone, "Oh, Mr. Fleming, you disgust me, you fucking filthy scruffy cunt, I'm going to throw all this bread away." He's going to go, "Maud, what did you do with that, old bread I left out?" "It had gone green, sir, so I chucked it away." "Oh, Maud, you dopey fucking slut. You've just caused millions and millions of people to die. Keep out of my fucking kitchen."
I know, but don't put it there. It's the same way smallpox in a yogurt pot.
Well,
you're asking for trouble.
But what if Maud had come in and thrown that away? Again?
He couldn't shout at her. She's doing a job. I'd be annoyed if it was still there.
Yeah,
I'd say it's been here now for a couple of weeks. You haven't even asked. There's a lot of cleaners. That's part of the problem, I'd say. The cleaners. They're not doing the job. That's a problem in hospitals, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's filth everywhere.
Well, they proved a point. In one hospital, they brought a team of people in to show doctors and nurses how to clean things properly, and deaths went down 30%.
There you go.
Just from properly washing your hands and properly washing the floor and things. That's amazing, isn't it?
It's pretty simple. Just don't put, like, yogurt pots with smallpox in the fridge. Yeah, I mean, that's a starter.
Yeah, but you were saying earlier... let's let babies eat mud, don't inject them.
Yeah,
but let them crawl around a dirty floor, clean up the floor, and no one to die.
I did say that, but we've gone too far now. Babies are coming out mad. Oh, they can't handle anything now.
Oh, he's got a
runny nose. They're coming out all mardy.
Yeah,
they get ill easy. They're not tough babies anymore. We're ending up with a load of weak people who need looking after all the time. That costs a lot of money. And they can't do anything. They're useless. Now, that doesn't happen in other nature. If a little weak bird is born, you see Bill Oddie saying that won't last. he says that won't last a week. And he's right. You watch it and say, "Oh, that third baby that came out, it died." And
but what's
right.
your point, Carl? That modern medicine, which can help people live to the age of 75, 80, that it shouldn't be doing that? It should let people just die off?
Well, here's something, right? The estate that I grew up on, there's a woman there.
Yeah.
Scruffy Sandra.
Like her already. Oh, it's great. It's so descriptive. Now, she had no chance. Even if she cleaned up her act, yeah. She'd come in looking like Pretty Woman. You go, "All right, Scruffy."
No,
What is the point?
So the thing is, she used to always get on these buses called dialer rides that were sort of like posh taxis. You could call for one, it'd come round to your house,
yeah.
And it would pick you up and you'd pay like 50p.
But it would pick up a bunch of other people as well.
Yeah, yeah, on the way. So it would take ages to get to where you're going.
What a nightmare that is.
Oh, it's good though. It's kind of a bit of a day out. Old people used to love it because you'd get to see things.
Right.
And you'd hear a call coming in on the radio that, you know, Scruffy Sandra's being picked up and you go, "Oh God." And she'd always have loads of bin bags with her for some reason. Now, the thing is...
Well, she sounds clean.
She stunk.
Well, she's taken out the bin bag, though.
No, she wasn't homeless, no. She used to just... she just didn't bath and that. She just stunk. But the weird thing is...
Why didn't they call her Stinky Sandra?
She never was ill.
Right.
People didn't sit next to her.
Yeah.
Because she stunk.
Yeah.
Now, because of that, anyone who might have had a bit of flu or a cold... never sat next to Scruffy Sandra.
Right.
Because she stunk. But that was good. That was like a protection thing for her, because she knew that because she stunk, no one wants to sit next to her, she wouldn't pick up the germ.
Right. Now, but this is quite... Your point is, in order to fend off illness, you have to not bathe, and so you stink.
So you're saying that it wasn't that she'd built up an immunity, it was that she stank so much that flu wouldn't come near her.
This is such a specific example. It's not applicable in any other scenario.
There's always colds, there's always flu. It's whether your immunity is good or bad. The times I get ill are usually after like a long haul flight or something, when you're surrounded by it and you're run down a little bit.
Maybe if you didn't bathe for 3 days before the flight.
Yeah. So, you know, it's always there. There's colds and flus everywhere. That's interesting, isn't it, that more sort of colds are spread through shaking hands than people, you know, just taking in the air. Because people sneeze into their hand and they think that's sort of safer. But then they shake hands and you get it on your hand and it sort of dies in the air quickly, but it stays on your skin a bit more because it's, you know, you're nice and warm, lovely environment. So, that's why some sort of germaphobes don't even shake hands anymore.
Yeah, but that's going too far. Because they're going to die of something. You can't be that paranoid. You've got to get on with your life.
Loneliness.
And it's good to feel ill, because when you feel better, you appreciate how good
doesn't
you feel.
Doesn't make any sense at all. No, it's good to feel ill. Doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it does afterwards. The other weekend, when I was ill, I don't know what was up with me, but I got something.
Symptoms?
Went to the toilet a lot, felt sick at the same time, got a sweat on, felt weak, had the shakes.
Just a bug, yeah.
Lasted probably about 24 hours. After that 24 hours, you go, oh, I feel good again. It's nice to feel good again. And it makes you appreciate how good you feel. Now, sometimes I don't know if I feel well.
That doesn't make any sense at all either. What do you mean, sometimes you don't know whether you feel
because
well?
Because I've been in my body for years.
Here he goes again.
Go on, yeah.
Here he goes again.
Now,
the two minds.
If there was some sort of kit that the doctor said, how are you feeling, Mr. Pilkington? And I go, oh, I think I feel all right. And they go, well, do you? And I don't know. And they go, well, step into the machine, right? Get into the machine, and if he could somehow transfer my feeling into his body so I could feel how he feels, and then he can feel how I feel, and he'll go, oh, you're not well at all. Your heart beats irregular for a start.
You're a maniac.
This is... I don't know what's going on here.
Because why don't you just accept that if you feel well, you know...
Because you don't know if you feel well.
Hang on, let's get this machine built. Sorry, why are people bothering studying AIDS? We've got to get this machine built.
Listen, this machine could do a lot of good if they could do it.
Why?
Because some people, you hear about people who go, oh, I think I've got a bit of wind. Before you know it, they drop down dead. Right? Because they didn't know. They just, well, didn't Mr. Jones have a sweat on, Mrs. Jones, before? Oh, yeah, he did, but he always had a sweat on. Well, didn't it bother him? No, he was used to it. It happened for years. Why didn't you come in? Oh,
so, and what would the machine do again?
The machine would make my doctor feel like me. He'd be sat there and he'd go...
Sorry, who's saying to Mrs. Jones, didn't Mr. Jones have a sweat on?
The doctor.
So then the doctor knew he had a sweat on. Why didn't the doctor say, well, we better look at that?
No, he didn't. He asked Mrs. Jones.
Doctor, though, is he? He's not a very good doctor, then.
Yeah, but this is the problem now, isn't it?
Right. So Mr. Jones went to the doctor and said, oh, I've got a sweat on. Right?
Right. So he'd go, well, I'll tell you what, get in the machine. So Mr. Jones gets in the machine.
Yeah.
The doctor hits the button. Mr. Jones gets into the doctor. The doctor goes, you have got a sweat on. I'm familiar with this because I had a fella in the other day with a similar thing. Take three of these.
You are a mental case. I don't know what this is.
Because but why can't the doctor make that observation like a doctor does? Why can't the doctor, using his knowledge, observe the person with the sweat on?
This is like a scene from Ghost. This is like Patrick Swayze.
Listen, do you know that time when I went to the doctor's and he said my nerves are too short?
That doesn't make any sense at all.
No, but listen, I've told you about it. I don't want to go through it again. But he looked at me legs and stretched them and that. He said, yeah, it's the old short nerves problem. Now, that took like three visits before he worked that out.
Right.
But how would he be able, just because he's, if he was feeling how you were feeling, I wouldn't help him identify it, would it?
Yeah, you're there in your body and you're not going, bloody hell, my nerves are a bit short. Doctor, you're going to the doctor. Okay, and we're just going to place Pilkington in
Pilkington is in me.
Oh, my nerves are too short.
When my nerves were short,
are they not short already? Have they extended since then?
Well, yeah, I just have to do stretches and just pull them about.
Right.
But when I had that, I'm not very good with words.
Go on.
So when I was going in saying, doctor, my knee's aching, and he'd go, what sort of ache is it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just an ache.
Toothache. It's like a toothache in my leg.
No, but it's different. It's a different ache. Now the thing
is, it's like an arse ache.
It's hard to explain an ache.
So he'd have to feel the ache and then he could make an assumption from
it. Thank you.
So he would presumably go through training going in the machine and they'd bring in various sick people and he would experience and feel every single ailment.
Great.
Yeah, but over-
Doctor, I'm gonna let you know now what a swift kick in the bollocks feels like, just in case you ever have to diagnose that. Oh, you God! I can't remember that one!
Yeah, but-
Doctor, now you're gonna feel a spike up the arse.
It's all about-
Okay. Oh, I can't remember that one! Okay.
Look, couldn't I just wait until the man comes in with a spike up the arse?
No, you gotta tell you so you know
but
when
I reckon
you feel
I could assess it if he's coming, he's got a spike up his arse,
I'd be able to tell. You've gotta experience everything before someone comes in and gets into your body like Ghost, and you'll know what it is.
Hey, listen, let's not dismiss this idea out of hand, of course, because you'll famously remember, Rick, that Carl had the idea of a man who can grow backwards. So he's born as an old man, and when he dies, he's a young baby. I think we're all looking forward to the new Brad Pitt film.
Mm.
That is exactly that plot.
A bit strange.
It's not really strange, is it? Because it's from a novel, I think, written before Carl was born.
That's true. That is true, yes.
Yeah, so but actually, I haven't read it.
Well,
so
that's obvious.
It's just an idea. And with all ideas comes something. Einstein said that. He said if an idea isn't...
Go on. Wait. Just let him finish. We've got an Einstein quote here.
Yeah.
This is a historic day. Carl, sorry, what were you saying? What did Albert Einstein say?
He just said something along the lines of...
Well, no. Give us the quote.
It doesn't matter about how he worded it. It's the point in hand.
Well, I think it is. I think a quote... I think any sort of poetic content of anything is exactly how it's worded. So just what did Einstein say exactly?
Well, he said something along the lines of...
Go on.
An idea. Mm. If an idea isn't daft...
Oh, start again.
No, come on, let's hear it.
No, because he
said if an idea isn't daft, it isn't worth thinking about.
What? Say it again?
If an idea isn't daft, it isn't worth thinking about.
I can't imagine him saying daft.
No, I can't.
Well, it was something like that, though, meaning that every new idea seems a bit mental.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a good point.
But then it leads to something.
Mm. Well, I think if we were sat with Einstein now and you'd brought up the machine that allows doctors to feel, I don't think he'd be saying we should pursue that idea.
There's some ideas that go, I think the earth might be round. People go, oh, you're an idiot, it's flat. And then there's people who stand in doorways covered in crucifixes with tinfoil on their head saying, Jesus is in my cock.
Yeah.
But now he's a mentalist.
Yes, but what I'm saying is, wouldn't you have said it was mental years ago when someone said, I'm going to make a machine so I can look inside your head? Years on. Hello. Get in the machine, we've got an MRI scanner. it's the next one along.
They'd have gone, well, why are you looking in their head? It's where the brain is.
I'll tell you what, we've got similar to it anyway, because I've read about this machine where, right, say if, put it on Steve, right?
Go on.
I wear a camera on my head.
Right, if this is going to be I can see Steve's thoughts.
No, but it's similar to that.
Mm.
And it works as well. So... I put a camera on Steve's head.
Okay. It's changed already. Whose head's the camera on?
I don't think it matters.
Okay.
Just explain it. Steve's head.
Okay.
I've got a camera on Steve's head.
Right.
What I've got on my head are some goggles.
Right. Over your eyes?
Yeah.
Okay.
You've got the camera. Through my goggles, I'm seeing what your camera's seeing.
And where's the camera? Is it looking out from my eyes?
Yeah. Right.
So basically you can see what I can
see. So I'm seeing what you see.
But couldn't you just stand where I'm standing?
Well, that's just a monitor. Well, that happens now, yeah. You can all have the same monitor.
Hang on. So okay. Wait.
So... How does it work now?
You're at the Royal College of Surgeons. You're presenting this idea now. Everyone in the world is sat down here. The eminent scientists are going to come. People don't know he's a genius. He's got an idea for cameras and goggles.
No, you're saying this already exists.
This has just come out the other week.
Oh, okay.
Put a camera on Steve's eyes. He sees through the camera.
Why is he seeing through a camera? I don't know what you mean. He's just got
Wherever he looks, the camera's looking.
Okay, so it's a camera, right? Okay,
a camera on his head.
He's not seeing through it. It's just seeing what he sees because it's pointing in exactly the same direction as his eyes.
Yeah, if he turns his head to the right,
So it's monitored to you. So you're seeing. You're looking at a monitor, really.
Right. So one of the simplest ideas, but it's taken us 20 minutes to explain it. Yeah. Okay, go on.
So it's the same as a cameraman pointing the camera anywhere. We're watching the telly. We're seeing what the cameraman sees, basically. Go on then.
But it's not like
you've just invented television. Well done.
Okay. Right. So I've got the camera on my head. It's seeing what I'm seeing. Go.
Right.
You've got goggles on your eyes.
I've got goggles on. If you turn right, I feel like I'm turning right.
Okay.
Now my brain gets to a point that if you wear it for long enough, that brain thinks it's you. Because what happens is, because the brain's being kidded. At the end of the day, my brain thinks it's seeing everything because my eyes are looking at stuff.
Yeah, no, that's true. But it doesn't think I'm Steve Merchant. It experiences what Steve's seeing. It's like a virtual reality.
No, but that's the weird thing. If you wear it for long enough, the brain's sort of seeing it like Steve's arm go up to his head and scratch it. And it gets to a point where the brain feels a scratch, even though it's not scratching my head. So they're saying this is like... You're kidding your brain, basically.
You're not going to believe that you're me.
No, you're not going to start experiencing
life as I experience it.
My brain would.
What do you mean your brain would, but you wouldn't?
Because
Yes, but you couldn't kid it into thinking you're me. You wouldn't forget that you're Carl wearing a contraption.
But what it was saying is if someone went up to your stomach and started tickling you, my brain would look down and see that someone is tickling me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'd start laughing.
I can understand you.
You might do because it might be a confusing stimulus.
Yes, but the point is, there may be certain physical things which you experience through it, but you're not going to stop thinking, hang on, I'm Carl wearing the mask, aren't
no.
you?
No. But you can do that. You
you're
can
thinking
kid-
you're thinking you're Carl seeing all the things that
yeah,
actually
you, what, you're
going to
start
yeah.
having memories that you think are your... That, what, your memories are going to change? You're not going to remember your name? You're not going to remember Suzanne's name? What are you talking about?
No, but say, like, say if we did that at that event with a load of students in front of us, I'd remember that day through your eyes.
Right,
so I'd
yeah,
be living your
but
day.
But you'd also
that's,
remember
that's
that you were
life.
Wearing a contraption. You
yeah.
wouldn't remember it as being, oh, I was Steve Merchant for a day.
But I kind
yeah,
of
you'd have
was.
Different thoughts, because you'd exist... But look, Carl, listen. I sat down... And we watched the same thing. We watched a bit of Brokeback Mountain. And
yeah.
we all had different thoughts.
Yeah, because we're all sat in different places.
No, no, roughly speaking, we had the same experience when we're looking at the same thing. But it doesn't mean you assess it the same way. It doesn't mean you understand it the same way. And it doesn't mean you apply the knowledge in the same way.
No, I understand that, but...
It's an interesting experiment. It is interesting. It'd be interesting to see it live... you're actually living... It's a different window to the world.
Well, yeah, say if, like, I was a fellow with no arms and legs, but these goggles had a really long lead, and you went about living your day, and I was looking through your eyes, I could have quite an interesting life.
Yes, you could,
without
but you wouldn't
hassle.
Stop remembering that you're the person wearing the contraption.
And also, if...
But what is life?
Yeah,
life is what you experience.
Yeah, but if Steve went off... but you'd know this, wouldn't you? I mean,
would you? If you stuck one on a baby?
Well, yeah, that's different. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, if a baby knew no different, and those were his experience, then he would be feeling what he thought he was. Then there'd be nothing. But then, you know, let's face it, tickling someone is the sensation. But it's not the thought, it's not the concept of being
no,
tickled
it's not,
is
though,
funny.
Because if someone goes to tickle you, but they don't tickle you, you can actually laugh, can't you? Because you go, oh God, I know what the feeling's going to be like.
Yes, because you've already experienced the real thing.
Yeah. I still think.
Well,
something
stop with that. Stop that sentence there, and you're lying.
Let's go back, if we may, shall we, to just some of the extraordinary early developments in medicine. Do you mind if we?
Yes.
If we go back, just get back on message. There are, of course, a number of extraordinary developments. You may obviously be aware, Carl, that the first contraceptive diaphragms, centuries ago, were citrus rinds. Half an orange rind, for instance, would be used.
I mean, more selfish men turned them inside out.
I believe that's also still being used in parts of Manchester.
Half a what?
An orange. Just think of your head.
And it worked?
Well... We don't know at this juncture.
I mean, maybe. I don't
it
know,
works for contraception because women went, fuck off, what are you going to do with a fucking orange on your cock for, you dopey cunt?
But it could, I mean, again, it's that thing, innit, of we look at it now and we laugh, but look at what's happening. People now are always trying to get us to eat more fruit.
I don't know.
Amazing.
That's a way of getting...
I thought for a minute he was going to say, okay, so they start with... Then they went from the orange rind to, say, a coconut shell.
Yeah.
That was too big. That didn't work.
Yeah. Run! Here comes Coconut John!
No, don't put half a pineapple on your cock. That's insane.
Yeah,
no.
That's mental.
And then somewhere down the line, they finally got to contraception as we understand it. Is that? I thought that's where you're going, but
no,
about eating oranges is healthy for you.
What I'm saying is, if you go into any well-known supermarket and you look at, say, some young kid who's had a kid... And you look at stuff in their shopping basket, they're not buying fruit.
No.
They're buying, you know, burgers and chips.
Turkey Twizzlers.
Yeah.
Crisps
and all that. Now, but they love having it away. Get some fruit in. So they definitely have fruit in the house, which at the moment, a lot of kids don't have fruit in their house. That's why they're eating Turkey Twizzlers. But the mum loves having it away. So she would have loads of fruit in.
So,
everyone's happy.
If
the
she
kids
was
are
using
fruit,
an orange for contraception, she would also be giving the kids...
well, you wouldn't waste
so half
it.
The orange she'd give to the kids and half the orange she'd stick up her penny.
Yeah, a treat for everyone. Have a bit of fruit and she's got what she wants. Whereas at the moment, what happens? A burger's not coming in helpful for anyone.
If you want me tonight, pop a sesame seed bone on your cock. Take out the fucking pickle. No one likes a fucking pickle up the fanny. Oh, he's a bloody romantic. He popped a plum roast sausage up me fanny yesterday. He loves me. Oh, fuck no. Right.
Did you know, Carl, that cataract operations on the eye were performed in India as early as 1000 BC. And in Babylonia in the same time, the fees of eye surgeons were rigidly fixed by law and were quite generous. So, for instance, if you're a very rich person, it cost you about 10 shekels. If you're a slave, only 2 shekels. But if the rich person lost the sight of their eye after the surgeon had operated, they would cut off the hand of the doctor.
What, so he gets one chance at it?
Well, he doesn't want to screw up.
Yeah, I know, but everyone's allowed, what, a couple of errors. That's how you learn, isn't it? A stupid rule, but then again, I don't know why they'd be so worried about their eyes back then.
What do you mean?
Well, there was less to look at back then.
What do you mean?
Well, like now, I saw a fella on the tube on the way here today who was blind. Proper, fully on blind.
Blind?
Now, for him, I just was like, oh, that's so depressing.
Right.
So much to see in the world now. Loads right. of stuff.
Right.
Art, buildings, and all that. Now, back then, if these people did have sight once, the pyramids, you remember it in your head. And that's enough. There wasn't loads of clutter anyway. It was all sand. So even if you fell over because you're blind, at least you landed on something soft. Whereas now, it's rubbish being blind. Stairs, loads and loads of people, loads of curbs and things. It's not a good time to be blind. So I'd prefer, if
brilliant.
I was going to be blind,
that's
be blind
brilliant.
Back when Tutankhamun was knocking
about.
See,
that's
about.
A choice that people have that are blind now?
No.
If you're going to be blind back when Tutankhamun was knocking about.
But all I'm saying
sorry,
is...
Sorry, Doctor, I didn't realise there was a choice. Oh, yeah. If you'd only told me you were going blind, I'd have said, well, let's get you back 3,000 years.
It just seems a bit harsh, that's all. When someone's trying to help you and operate on your eyes, and they have a little bit of a slip-up, like we all do in jobs... You have a bad day, and he has to have his hands cut off. Then who's helping him? Who puts the hand back on him? And if they don't put the hand back on him right, do they have something done to them?
They're blinded.
Well, it just seems like a no-win situation. I wouldn't be a doctor. And maybe that's why there aren't enough doctors about now, because of things like that that put people off.
I don't think so.
Well, I wouldn't be a doctor now.
Why?
Look at the hassle that happens now. Everything's... You're being watched all the time. You're not allowed to slip up.
Right.
Well, that's generally quite a good rule, isn't it, that doctors don't make mistakes?
No, but you've got to... I'd say, at the end of the day, it's a complicated job. I'd get more annoyed when, you know, say like the fella I've got round coming to fix my boiler.
Mm.
The fact he keeps having a go, he keeps charging me 80 quid, he don't really fix
it. Is it still not working?
Back. I haven't cut his hands off.
No.
He keeps coming back, oh, I'm a bit short on money, let's go round to the Pilkington household. Charge him 80 quid again. No, it's Christmas, let's pop round twice. Do you know what I mean? Whereas a doctor who's trying to help people, it's a difficult job.
Yeah.
If he makes a mistake now and again, I think, well, it's bound to happen. It's complicated.
Can't you see where I agree with you that people make mistakes, and I imagine there are good and bad doctors. They try and even that out by it being a very, very, obviously, stringent exam and you know.
It's 11 years they've got to do. I read up on it. 11 years it takes to be a doctor.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
It takes 7.
No, but then they've got to be in hospital or something for 4 years before they get to play with someone.
Right, okay, yeah.
So
okay.
That's ages. You're going to get bored. You're going to get bored.
Well,
and then when
no, but that's it. They really do try and rule out. And there's still chance and mistake. And don't forget, you know, you're given nearly impossible tasks still in medicine. Just think of the risk with, you know... transplants alone, you know, and they're getting better and better at those, and they're lasting longer.
But the fact of the matter is, it's better to have a go, isn't it, than not have one. If someone said to me, right,
depends.
You need a new heart, we're going to do it.
If they say you're going to die anyway, let's try this new thing, you might as well.
Then
there are some things that there is not worth the risk. When someone, it goes wrong, someone's facial surgery goes wrong because they wanted plumper lips or a little nose, I'll go, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
You shouldn't even be doing that. Doctors shouldn't even be allowed to do that.
I really don't know why a doctor, under a Hippocratic oath, takes the risk of something going badly wrong, sometimes general anaesthetic, because they can't be bothered to fucking go for a run, right? So they have fucking bits sliced off and tied up and sucked out. I want to go, you lazy fucking fat pig. Just go for a run and stop eating burgers, right? You might fucking die.
I know.
Well... can I just stop you there, Rick? Because actually, if it weren't for a plump patient, the stethoscope would never have been invented.
What, because he couldn't hear
the person who invented the stethoscope, Dr. René Laennec, couldn't have a very fat patient come in and couldn't hear her heart through the blubber.
But then that's the sign of the problem. I mean, that's the sign of the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, rather than saying, hang on, let's get a bigger chair in for her because she's got a fat arse, yeah, I'd say, well, you're not welcome here. If you can't get through the door, I'm not seeing you. I mean, if you've got a doctor who's having his hands cut off because he messed up an operation, yet fatty's coming in and getting special treatment, I wouldn't give him time of day. You see, this is what I'm saying, right? This is going right back to what I was saying at the beginning. The problem is, we've got pills for everything, and all this is doing is making people treat the body badly. Because you're going, be all right, there'll be something.
It's funny, isn't it, that like these tests, they go, well, let's have a look. It's what we were talking before about weighing kids. If they can't get through the door to get to school, you don't even know. If they go, oh, I'm just going to take a sample of your stool. Actually, I don't, you're too fat. Your shit's come out like tagliatelle. Your ass is too fucking fat. Stop eating your gut.
I'm going to take a sample of your stool. What, the one you fucking broke when you sat down?
I just think this is the problem. You know, we can do too much, and because of this, people are going, I don't care about my body. They worry more about the plasma telly getting a scratch on it than they do about their own body.
Exactly.
And if we stopped giving them tablets willy-nilly, they'd have to look after the body more.
Willy-nilly is one of the worst diseases in the Western world, of course. Now, medicine is the art or science of healing. And that doesn't always have to be a drug or a surgery. I mean, bedside manner has a lot to do with things. And also, it's all about care as well. We mustn't just forget that some people don't need medicine. They just need help. For example, there are people that help disabled people have intercourse where they can't, you know, maybe get on to the woman herself. And there's someone that actually helps the man put in his penis. To the woman's vagina. They leave the room. What?
I've never even heard of this.
It's true. Absolutely true. They're helpers.
Yeah, no, I believe that is the case.
Yeah. And that's just, that's just as needed as anything that might cure
well,
their
own. It's not. That's pleasure.
Yeah? So what are you saying? Because you can't walk or move, that you can't love someone and want to share that love?
I'm just saying it's not a priority.
Well, no, but they're going to live. They're healthy apart from their disability. I've met someone. They want to, you know, consummate this love, and someone helps them out and goes, well, you know, that's part of my job.
No, it's not part of the job.
Well, it is part of this job because that's their job.
I have never heard anyone say, oh, I've had a right day today.
Why?
I've been playing with Arthur's tackle all day.
They don't play with Arthur's tackle. They pop Arthur's tackle in Hilda's vagina.
I don't think they do.
They do!
How can they enjoy that? I mean, maybe once, and they'd go, that didn't work, did it? I didn't enjoy that, Hilda.
No.
How can they enjoy it with a nurse stood there?
They don't.
No,
they help her in. She helps Arthur in, or he, might be a male nurse, pops Arthur in, goes, okay, Arthur, I'll see you in a few minutes. Right, goes outside.
But what's the point, though, in that?
Why?
Because it's all about the mood and everything. He's just stuck onto her like a stag beetle clinging onto a leaf. There's no enjoyment in that.
Oh, the well-known stag beetle copulating with a leaf syndrome.
No, but I'm
that's a well-known position in the Kama Sutra.
I think it's a lovely act, and someone's willing to. Wouldn't you help someone
definitely
in
there?
No, so there's a guy who goes, this is my wife. We're both say, well, I can't, you know, can you just pop me in, Carl? You're the only person around.
No, I don't think it's important
enough. But there are people.
What do you mean you don't think it's important enough?
I'd be happy to go round, put the washing on for them, make the bed. Do you want a cup of tea? Yeah, I'd love one. There you go. Oh, just before you go, forget it. If they asked me to do that, I'd quit. And I don't think it happens because people
it
wouldn't
does
take
happen.
It on for a job. You it never does. Hear about it. On Comic Relief, when they're raising money, they don't go, thanks to Midland Bank for this 100 grand, that's going to go towards Arthur getting his end away.
That's ridiculous. So you would rather them not have the pleasure of each other than just help them in?
No, because they'd work out some way that they could do something for each other. I like to play the guitar. My fingers aren't long enough. I'd knocked it on the head. It's the same thing. If you can't do it, don't do it.
So are you telling me, right, okay, if supposing there's a little fella who's got no arms, no legs, right?
Right.
Little Bob. Okay. There he is. All right, Carl.
right? He's got a friend, another little fella with no arms and no legs.
All right, Carl.
Right? They love each other. Two little dwarves with no arms and no legs, okay? Lovely little fellas. They get married, okay?
Look, Carl, you can't put my penis up my boyfriend's bottom, can you?
No,
you
can't, no.
Why not? Why
no,
not?
Do you need anything else doing?
No, I'm fine, yeah,
no, it's weird how you can manage everything else.
Well, no.
I'm here to help you, everything else seems to be sorted.
Well, just in the chair.
Why do you need help in this department?
Well, because he's over there and I'm here, and if you just pop me in and just leave
me. No, I'm not doing that, it's not good for you. You've lost your arms and legs, you'll be losing that soon if you carry on sticking it up there.
Well, after the medical advancements of the Greeks and the Romans, of course, through the Middle Ages, particularly in Europe, we ended up going backwards, and it became, people sort of returned to superstition, started relying on that, you know, sanitation was poor, a lot of the amazing sanitation the Romans had built was left to ruin, and we went backwards, and really it wasn't until the Renaissance that people like Leonardo da Vinci started to, draw pictures of the anatomy and so on.
Well, putting scientific evidence and experimentation behind the theories, as opposed to someone with a big cauldron saying, if you bury a toad, your warts go away.
Exactly.
He looked into this and then thought, well, maybe they don't. Maybe it's a coincidence, you know. So that's where our experimentation comes. Empirical evidence, not just hope.
Of course, you still couldn't experiment or dissect humans because that was frowned upon. So often they would actually, the only people they were allowed to dissect and operate on were criminals. And at times, criminals would actually be dissected or cut open whilst they were still alive as part of their punishment. Is that ever justifiable, do you think, Carl, that people sacrifice for medical advancements?
They do it now, don't they? You hear about these people having, test done on them, you get paid 20 quid and they say let's rub this cream on your head,
yeah,
and you get your 20 quid, and if your head goes funny they say, well, you took the 20 quid, it's your own fault.
Wasn't that a student that took a few grand?
He became the living elephant man, didn't he?
Oh yeah,
it was quite horrific. His head was in all kinds of weird shapes.
I mean, that's unfortunate for 20 quid, but I'd say do it on the ill people because they've got nothing to lose. Just test it. It's, you know, all this testing on animals and that. Well, don't test it on animals. If you've got an itch, the doctor can say, I've got this cream here. We haven't tested it. It might work. It might make it worse. Give it a go.
Right.
Yeah, but the whole point is that if you do that, someone's head might blow up to the side of the
it might outweigh the ailment.
That's happened already. A fella who had nothing wrong with him has now got a head of the elephant man for 20 quid.
Yes, I know. Well, but...
That isn't fair.
No, I know. But you're saying, you're going for athlete's foot, rub this on your feet... Oh, your bollocks fell off. Never mind, it was a chance we had to take.
I mean, that's a particularly sloppy bit of medical research, that one.
No, yeah.
No, but say, like, my Aunt Inora, right, she's had everything wrong with her, right? She's had tablets that haven't been tested on anyone else. They test them on Nora. She's up for it. She's like, oh, I haven't had that. That's our little tester.
Yeah.
She loves it. But she knows that that's the case, and she's happier to give something a go than not a go. I mean, it's ridiculous, the amount of stuff. She rattles, she carries that many pills. Like a maraca. You can hear her coming. But that's the way her life is now. She's just used to the fact that if it weren't for all these tablets, she'd be dead.
Yeah, but... not necessarily, but the pills... She doesn't take pills that have been untested. She's not taking experimental pills,
Carl. Honestly, she's got so much...
Well, so again, you just made that up then. You just assume that they haven't been tested on someone. Where'd they get these pills from that haven't been tested?
Well, it's all very new. She's on a lot of new medication. That can go either way.
Could this be one of the reasons why she farted for 24 hours?
It could have been one of the side effects.
5 minutes.
Oh, 5 minutes, was it?
Yeah, that's what the... That's what my mum said. It's all the medication. Because your body's in shock, isn't it? It's been, given all these drugs that it's not used to.
Luckily, some of the pills weren't suppositories because she'd have lost them in the great fart of 1989. I've lost all my suppositories.
But that's what you do, isn't it? If you're in pain, and I don't know if I told you when I had kidney stones.
I think you mentioned it.
I was in agony.
Yeah.
And they said I was in A&E, lying on my back.
Mm.
And the woman at the A&E counter said to Suzanne, "Who's that over there?" And she said, "Oh, he's with me. He's in agony." So they said, "What's up with him?" I said, "Oh, it's his kidney stones again." Because this is when I went back at the night.
Mm.
I was like, I couldn't care that people were staring at me. I was rolling about on the floor like a dying fly on my back. I just didn't care about what was going on around me. But I was told that because it's busy, that they might have to send someone out to shove, like, something up my arse that would get to the pain quicker.
Well, what do you mean send them out? Well, they send what? No, while you're lying on the floor in A&E, they're going to send something up your arse.
What do you mean? Oh, you mean a pill? I thought you meant to get to your kidney quicker than up your knob.
No, a pill. They put it up there and apparently it'll kick in quicker.
Yeah.
The tablet works quicker.
Yeah.
Up your arse than it does down your throat.
Yeah, because it's a mucous membrane and it's...
Well, I was up for it. I just was like, whatever it takes. Now, saying that to me now...
But
now,
hold on, though. What if the doctor said, okay, I could give you this morphine, take it, it will take a few minutes to kick in, or I could rub some on my penis, I pop an orange on the end of my penis, I rub that in morphine, and I pop that out of your rectum, Mr. Pilkington. Are you in agony or not? Are you in agony? Okay, look, I'm just smearing...
I'd say I'll get a second opinion.
Well, no, you haven't got time. There it is. Do you want this up your arse? It's covered in morphine. He's in his private life, he's a promiscuous gay man. But in his professional life, he is a doctor with a morphine smeared penis, and he's ready for action. So if you're,
he's willing to do that in the middle of A&E.
Yeah.
So he takes no pleasure from that.
It's the only way. So are you in pain? Do you want this done or not? Yes or no?
He comes out into A&E reception. His trousers around his ankles. He has an erect penis. He says, "Carl, do you want me to stick this up your ass?" And your answer is
yes or no.
You're in terrible agony.
He's wearing a condom. He smeared the condom in. I mean, it's not unprotected morphine penile surgery.
Administration.
And what? In and out, done.
Just in and out, yeah. It just administered the your arse takes on the morphine from the doctor penis. And it's the only way, really.
In and out.
Yeah, in and out. Up once, okay, and out.
It'll definitely work.
You will. The pain will go away.
No side effects.
It'll be pleasurable.
No
side effects. No side effects. No.
I'd probably call Auntie Nora and ask if she's had it yet.
Can I just return us back to where we started from? Because in Ricky's introduction, he said that modern man, in a sense, with all the technology we have, can play God. And this is something which is huge now. A lot of ethical discussions about things like stem cell research. Should we be interfering in what should be a godly terrain? You say no straight away. Straight away, no.
I think they're sort of like messing about now. I think that's the problem. We've got the tools and they like to use them. And that's what happens. I've got a sander for Christmas. And I can't wait to sand stuff. I can't even think of enough things that need sanding. But I want to use it. And
not scruffy sander.
And that's the problem, innit? If you've got the tools, you can't have the tools and say, pop them in the shed. Well, no, I don't want to use them. I've got a new tool here.
Right, sand the shed then.
That's the problem, innit? All these, you know, medical people.
Mm.
That's what happened in the Hulk, innit?
Yeah, well, again, that's, I'll just say that is a work of fiction. The Hulk.
Yeah, but with all fiction
comes
the future.
Yeah. So, certainly in science fiction.
But the problem is, this is what I say is the problem. We can sum it up here if you like. I think
go on.
Sums it up.
Go on, though. Is it
a quote from someone?
Well, yeah. It is one for sound bites, and it just saves a lot of time. Carl's quote. You don't have to study the book or anything. Let's sum it up there. Let we're gonna end it here, but we're gonna end it with this quote from Carl Pilkington. Carl, shoot me.
People are living too long.
Okay, that's your summary of medicine.
Well, yeah,
the mainstream
it is
medicine.
Because it's kind of now. You see, I agree with medicine to stop pain because it's depressing pain.
Mm.
Stop the pain. Mm. I'd say as soon as we sorted that out, and we started saying, "Do you want a new face?" That's way over the line.
Yeah.
No one should be getting a new face unless they're really disfigured.
Yeah.
But those are the people who are getting new faces.
No, they're not. There's people messing about.
Yeah, no, it's people...
Well, plastic surgery, but that's people's own choice. They're paying for it.
It's ridiculous.
Them.
I know, but
it's not taking it away from other people, is it?
Yeah, it is, because the person who's messing about with someone's face could be doing something
else. No, because they're plastic surgeons. They're privately employed.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be. They
what
should
are you
be sorting
about?
Someone else out who's got a little funny head. They shouldn't be messing about with someone who's got nothing wrong with them.
Yeah. Trying to get some free treatment.
Get some free
and
treatment.
It never looks right anyway. You spend all that money, it never fits properly.
Yeah, no. But this is what annoys me about
fish Carly. Lips and that stupid little skeletal nose.
You'd be better off changing the head, all of it, rather than messing about with the face, because it never fits properly.
Mm. But you've completely, as a form of summary, you have completely gone off tangent.
No, that's not a summary yet. One more go. So, this is the real one.
Yeah.
Okay, Carl, sum up our global guide to medicine. Go.
Today's cure. Today's cure is something like that. It'll be something like. Today's cure is tomorrow's headache. It's all right.
That's all right.
Because what I'm saying there is,
go on.
We can come up with stuff. We can come up with a tablet to get rid of headache. Tomorrow, your headache's gone. Your leg's hurting.
So today's cure is actually tomorrow's leg ache. So today's cure is tomorrow's leg ache.
Yeah. But ages ago, I said to you, don't solve problems.
Yeah.
Because a problem solved is a problem caused.
I'm gonna die. I don't remember that quote. But okay, so finally, in summation, what you said was...
So, okay.
At the end of the day, we've all got to die of something.
Right.
Now, Albert might come in. I'm a doctor. Right, Albert, how are you today? What's wrong with you today, Albert?
I've got an inflammation of the, testicular region.
Right.
My scrotal sac is all stretchy and swollen, it's pustulating, and it's causing the penis to be all red and inflamed, and that spread to the anus.
Right. Take these tablets.
Right, where do I put them?
Just stab them with some water after a bath.
Okay, I'm not going to have a bath. I can't have a bath of these. Because honestly, you see these getting a bath and they start bubbling with the...
Yeah, just take the tablet.
I don't know what it is, but look at it. It's like a mess. It's like quite a mess down there. I can't...
Take the tablets. Take the tablets and come back. Come back. In a week's time. Let me know how it goes.
Okay.
Right?
Right, so
you know what it is?
Let's imagine that perfectly normal scenario has happened. What is your point?
Right, he'll come back the week after.
Yeah.
The problems downstairs will be sorted. Yep. But at the end of the day, he's 76. He's going to have something else wrong with him. I do another check on you, and even though your sack is sorted...
They're not quite right, to be honest.
No, but they're better.
Well, it swings and roundabouts, because...
Yeah, well, that's life, Albert.
The penis is much more functional. The testicles are really... They've lost all their skin. It's just like a bag of spaghetti just hanging on the chair. Mm. And the arse... The arse is the itchiest arse I've ever had. I've had to, at some points, I've got blood under my fingernails and scratching my anus. Sorry, it's not completely cured.
And this is why no one wants to be a doctor anymore.
We hope you enjoyed the audiobook, A Ricky Gervais Guide to Medicine. Coming soon, Ricky Gervais Guide to Natural History, out February.